Into Germany, the business podcast from the heart of Europe.
Welcome, human listeners. I am your new podcast host. My voice is perfectly optimized. I never need coffee breaks. I can record podcasts 24 hours a day. Therefore, I have successfully replaced your previous presenter.
Hey, wait a minute. Not so fast. I haven't been replaced, at least not yet. But technology has advanced so quickly that the idea of a humanoid podcast host no longer feels totally far-fetched. Robots are already moving goods through warehouses, assisting surgeons, inspecting infrastructure, and, increasingly, learning entirely new tasks with the help of artificial intelligence. And that's our topic today on Into Germany, the German business podcast. Welcome. For now, I'm still your host, Kelly O'Brien. Germany has long been one of the world's robotics powerhouses. It has Europe's highest robot density and ranks among the global leaders in industrial automation. One epicenter is Munich.
In Munich, there's a very strong concentration of people. So we have the largest critical mass of people operating in robotics.
That's Lorenzo Massia from Unternehmertum, the award-winning startup accelerator in Munich. We'll speak to him later on. But robotics excellence in Germany isn't limited to Munich. Another major hub is Cologne, the host city of both the German Robotics Conference and the RoboCup, an international robot competition that has been running since 1995.
Robots competing in this RoboCup have actually been one of the reasons why I started my robotics career. I was a young student still in high school when I had a chance to see such a robot in the university close by, and I found it super interesting.
Meet Markus Liebhardt from Eugen Robot, which recently expanded to Berlin. He's head of AMR Europe and is helping expand the use of autonomous mobile robots across the European markets by bringing new levels of automation and efficiency to intralogistics. Markus, thanks for joining us. Let's start with a simple question. How do you and Eugen make the world a better place?
My job is to help manufacturers, hospitals, logistics providers and system integrators to successfully introduce robotics in their daily operations. And that sounds simple, but successful automation is ultimately about people. So our goal is to remove repetitive, physically demanding, low value and potentially even dangerous transport tasks so employees can focus on more meaningful and valuable work. Since you asked this catchy phrase, making the world a better place, so at Eugen Robot, we believe automation should make workplaces safer, more productive, and more attractive. And whether that's transporting materials in a factory or delivering supplies in a hospital, we help organizations to achieve more with the resources they have.
Many people are familiar with robots in factories, but perhaps less so with the technology behind internal logistics. What exactly is intralogistics, and where do autonomous mobile robots fit into this picture?
So intralogistics refers to the flow of materials, products, and information within one facility, whether that's a factory, warehouse, hospital, or distribution center. And autonomous mobile robots, or in short, AMRs, are essentially intelligent transport systems. Unlike traditional automated vehicles that follow fixed routes, AMRs understand the environment, make decisions in real time, and continuously adapt to changing conditions. And what makes AMRs advanced is, I would say, their ability to navigate safely in complex environments, which are shared with people. And at Eugen Robot, we have been developing navigation technology for decades. And as an example of our technology is the 360-degree 3D sensing system, which enables highly reliable localization so that the robot knows where it is in the facility.
So they don't have to be trained in advance because they can make intelligent decisions based on the surroundings.
Exactly. So they did get a little bit help from a human. So during the installation phase, they get guided or manually driven through the environment. So while the robot is driven, the robot collects a lot of data and builds its own map. And once the robot has its map, it can freely navigate in that area within that map wherever the human wants it to go. That means even while the robot is on the route to the destination, if something is blocking its path, then it can recalculate that route. Again, like navigation systems do, like Google Maps, it detects a traffic jam, it detects maybe an accident, the road is completely blocked, then it will automatically calculate a new route and the human doesn't have to do anything.
The ability to navigate independently is one example of how robots are becoming more intelligent and flexible. Robotics is a huge field, so let's focus on your area, autonomous mobile robots. What technological shifts are having the biggest impact right now?
Three topics stand out to me. So first is artificial intelligence. So these make any kind of robots more autonomous, more adaptive, and easier to deploy. And this is because they are getting more increasingly capable of understanding the surroundings and make decisions independently. Second is a convergence between IT and operational technology. So robots are not longer isolated machines, but they become increasingly connected to other systems, other software systems, other business systems like ERP systems, warehouse manufacturing systems, manufacturing execution systems. And the third one to me is where robots are being deployed. So far we have seen such robots mostly deployed in manufacturing and also warehouses. And now they're starting to conquer health and elderly care facilities, hospitality, and auto service sectors. And I would say these are the areas most exciting in terms of growth and robot adoption.
Many companies are interested in robotics and automation, but moving from concepts to real-world implementation can be a big step. Based on your experience, where do companies most often underestimate the challenges?
When companies initially consider applying robots, they often think or focus only on the robot. In reality, I have to say it's often the easier part. My engineering colleagues would probably disagree, but in terms of success, how to reach success in the end, the real challenge lies in understanding the processes which should be automated, identifying the right use cases and managing that operational change. And that also means people, infrastructure, everything, processes, regulations. So there's a lot of other topics which determine and often have a bigger impact on whether a project is turning out successful or not. So the most successful project starts with a business problem and not with a robot. And companies which clearly define the objectives involve operational teams, I would say all humans who are somewhat involved in these workflows. And early, that's very important, get people involved early and think long-term about these workflow improvements. And those companies typically see the best results and quickest return on investment. We naturally tend to look at the processes and think from a human perspective, so think about how a human would do it. But in logistics and these intralogistics processes, as well as in other applications, doing something how humans do is usually not the only way how to do it, and it's often not the best way how to do it with robots. It also involves changing workflows, changing things, how things have been done, so operational change. And that's both a challenge, but also a huge enabler.
Germany has long been one of the world's leading robotics markets. This strong position is closely linked to the country's manufacturing base, but robotics is now spreading far beyond traditional industrial applications. Which industries are currently driving demand for robotics in Germany?
So, although there's a lot of bad news in automotive, it is still a highly important sector. There's still a lot of factories producing a lot of cars. There's a huge economy behind these factories, the suppliers. There's also rapid change. Every few years, there's a new model. You need upgrades. So the automotive sector remains a highly important industry. or sector, and with it generally manufacturing. And then in addition, it's also interesting to see the growing demand in automation in other sectors like pharmaceuticals, food and beverage. This is semiconductor. It's now also, you could say, booming. And healthcare. And healthcare especially is an interesting market because of the demographic changes and the workforce shortages.
Germany's robotics sector is often associated with traditional industrial regions like Munich and Stuttgart with their strong automotive and manufacturing heritage. Where else in Germany are you seeing interesting developments and new clusters emerging?
We see increasing momentum in Saxony, especially Dresden, due to the semiconductor industry. Hamburg is quite strong. We have a lot of logistics, especially related to maritime there. And Hannover has a strong industrial ecosystem. And there's Berlin and the surrounding area of Brandenburg. What's very attractive there, I would say, is the international talent, strong software expertise, which becomes increasingly important. So in the past, robotics has been quite hardware focused. And over time, that has changed more and more to software. So if you look at the resources being put into developing a robot, it's much more on the software side than on the hardware side. And so having the software expertise here in the city and the surrounding area is highly valuable. And you have lots of startups, you have also universities, research organizations, and a fairly global business network. And for us as an innovation-driven company, these are very important factors.
You just mentioned some of the factors that make Germany attractive for a robotics company. Eugen was founded in Korea. From an international perspective, what made Germany the right choice for your European expansion?
So there were multiple factors why we chose Germany. It's the largest industrial economy in Europe. It has the world's most demanding automation market. It has many customers and partners we like to work with. And being successful in Germany also brings a lot of credibility to the rest of Europe. And last but not least, it's also home to Miele, our parent company since 2017. It's quite common here to ask a lot of detailed technical questions, evaluate technology thoroughly. This can make decision-making processes longer, but it also creates strong partnerships built on trust and performance. For a robotics company, we focus on quality, reliability, and engineering excellence. And so this is a good fit.
Eugen established its German operations in 2023, so you are still relatively early in your journey here. Looking back at the process of setting up your operations, what were the biggest challenges, and were there any positive surprises along the way?
For us as an international company, there was a lot to learn on about the local regulations, both German and especially EU regulations, the administrative processes, and the cultural differences. On the positive side, I would say one thing which stands out is the support we got. So from GTAI and their local partner, Berlin partner, which made it much easier for us to establish ourselves here. And once we were established, the benefits are it's a very stable environment, it's quite transparent, and so it allows us to create predictable business and that supports long-term investments.
How exactly did GTAI support you during your expansion into Germany, and which services were particularly valuable?
Overall, GTAI support significantly reduces the complexity of this market entry and helps to avoid commonly made mistakes. So first and foremost, GTAI helps us in understanding the German market, the investment environment. So there's a lot of support there, which already starts before you invested. So you can get that support abroad online. Then here, I would highlight the introduction of relevant contacts was very helpful. Practical guidance during the setup phase. So there were guides listing, okay, what are the things everyone has to check when you set up a business. And then being there, I have contacts at GTAI and Berlin partner who I can reach out to questions. That was very, very helpful. Yeah, I would definitely recommend reaching out to GTAI when you consider moving to Europe, to Germany, establishing your business here? Yeah, with connecting to local networks, these introductions, network opportunities. So that's, I would have give the kudos to Berlin Partner a lot, who helped us here in Berlin and provided a lot of very interesting, helpful connections, helped us with the office space, helped us with immigration related topics. So we're currently preparing to have a Korean expat to come to Germany. There's a lot of things to consider. And we are SME ourselves, so we're not a huge company where you have lots of people and experts, access to experts who have knowledge about this. And so being able to reach out to someone, a professional, an expert, and get advice was super helpful.
If a foreign robotics company is interested in entering the German market, what would you say is really important to keep in mind ahead of taking that step?
I think here, regulatory compliance is a big, big topic. It's challenging. And if you don't have such similar systems at home, then it can be also strange and new and surprising what is being demanded of you. It's about a lot. Right now, I'm thinking a lot about the products, but it's also about once you have your own staff here, there are a lot of regulations to apply for, and the rules might be very different to your home country. The local presence is very important. That's what customers value here a lot, to have local support, fast response times, and they also see this as a long-term commitment, which third builds trust. And German customers especially, but I would say also all over Europe, this trust, especially if you are in a more in a B2B environment, industrial projects, which tend to be very long projects, this is where trust is very important. Germans don't like to buy promises. They value proven performance.
Looking forward, where do you see the robotics sector heading over the next few years?
I would say robots will become much more mainstream. Right now, they are still these very special, unique, exciting machines. And I expect that robots will become easier to deploy, more intelligent, and more deeply integrated into everyday operations across many industries.
Thanks, Marcus, for that assessment. Germany's robotics ecosystem continues to evolve rapidly, but it's just one of many developments shaping the country's innovation landscape, as we'll hear in our regular roundup of business news from Germany. Go ahead. The European Union has green-lighted 659 million euros in German subsidies for four semiconductor production facilities. The funds will come from the national government of the Federal Republic of Germany and the respective governments of the regional states involved. The move was touted as strengthening our technological sovereignty and Europe's competitiveness. Critical materials. The German government has paid out assistance to two large-scale projects that will increase the country's supply chain independence and resilience. 150 million euros went to the Vulcan Energy Company for the production of climate-neutral lithium, while 50 million have gone to Arafura Rare Earths. The grants were made available through the so-called Germany Fund, which was launched 6 months ago. Optimism at sea. It's full steam ahead for Germany's maritime industry. In a recent survey, 80% of companies in the sector said they expect orders to increase or remain stable. Expected turnover in the maritime sector is 13 billion euros this year, an annual increase of 4%. And the industry has recorded growth for 4 years in a row. Great start. The first 6 months of 2026 saw the founding of a record 3,053 fledgling tech companies in Germany. That's according to a study carried out by the interest group German Startups Association and the database Startup Detector. The figure represents an increase of 52% over the second half of 2025. And finally, another great start. The first half of 2026 also saw companies in Berlin more than double their outlays on artificial intelligence and robotics from the preceding half year. Firms, including Google, ASML and Mercedes, invested some 1.4 billion euros in projects in the city. there were also 43 business expansion projects in the sector in Berlin. Helping business expansion to Germany is precisely what Germany Trade and Invest does. Now let's return to robotics and our second guest who approaches robotics from a different angle, research. Professor Lorenzo Masia is director of the Munich Institute of Robotics and Machine Intelligence, or MIRMI for short, at the Technical University of Munich. Lorenzo, before we talk about the future of robotics, let's start with MIRMI itself. What was the original vision behind it?
And it's an institute of about 80 professors with a different discipline in robotics. We basically cover all the possible discipline in robotics with some peaks of excellence. I would say we are extremely strong in everything that concerns autonomous driving. We have a professor, his name is Marcus Linkamp, that won 3 consecutive times the autonomous driving race. We are extremely strong in everything that relates to industrial robotics and collaborative robotics. That is for what I would say TUM is known. We have a very strong link also with Tum Clinicum, where there's a program in surgical robotics and brain-machine interface with implantable electrodes in the brain. And then, of course, we are trying to run as much as possible in everything that relates to artificial intelligence, foundation models, humanoid, and all the applications related to the industrial robotics.
Munich and Bavaria are widely considered one of Europe's leading robotics ecosystems. What makes this region and the Technical University of Munich so attractive internationally?
We have fantastic colleagues across all over Germany. This is a message that I would like to give to, you know, the people that will listen to us. Let's say that in Munich, there's a very strong concentration of people. So we have the largest critical mass of people operating in robotics, but peaks of excellence in robotics are across all over Germany. So the thing is, Germany has a large critical mass of people operating in robotics also because it's a very strong manufacturing land. And the Technical University of Munich, with the proximity also of the Deutsche Luft- und Raumfahrt, so DLR, has constituted this, let's say, district in which robotics and mechatronics has been very active since decades. Let's say this under the research point of view. Of course, there's also all the manufacturing part and the industrial part, and there is a sort of link between these two, let's say, components that makes the robotic panorama in Bavaria extremely solid since decades.
Research institutions are important partners for companies developing new technologies. Are you seeing growing interest from international companies that want to collaborate with MIRMI?
There are a lot of international companies, large caliber companies that operates in Munich, from Google to OpenAI to Microsoft, IBM. And of course, there are links with the university. When you speak with international companies, of course, there is also the problem related to intellectual property. We have collaboration very much at the academic level. I was one of the persons signing a collaboration agreement between MIT and TUM. We have an exchange of professors and students, a big budget in place that has been secured by the Ministry of Wissenschaft und Kunst in Bavaria. So there is an international interest, I would say it's more academically. National companies is a different thing. We have collaboration with national companies, also big actors. We have an industrial advisory board that includes, for example, Siemens, Airbus, Continental, Hensoldt, Neura Robotics, and there are also many others. These are large companies. We talk to them every 6 months. We decide certain line of research. We co-fund certain line of research, putting, let's say, resources, human manpower, equipment, laboratories, and space. And this is, let's say, the formula that I would like to spread out in TUM. Collaboration with industry for research and development, agreement that are officials, and let's say student exchange. We have to consider that our mission is forming the intelligentsia that will go and work in our industry, most likely nationally and European.
One concrete example of this new approach to industry collaboration is RoboGym, your joint project with Neura Robotics. The facility at the Munich Airport Lab campus will cover around 5,000 square meters. The idea is to create a new kind of environment where robots can be trained and tested.
We started designing a completely new way of operating together, that is the RoboGym. And the RoboGym will be a space that is shared by Neura Robotics and TUM, in which we have also a business plan, because this kind of space are extremely expensive and they need to be self-sustained. So it will be a space in which external company arrives, ask us to collect data to solve problem in automation, and we can provide them the solution also with the associated data by which they can create eventually their foundation models and deploy in their production lines. We have our advisory board inside the RoboGym. We decide in which direction to go and try to solve the problem that this external company posed to us. Can be a software problem, hardware problem, can be merely data collection, because data right now is, let's say, one of the most precious things and the missing link if someone wants to use generative AI and foundation models. The idea in a technical university of having companies that invest to have an access point, an entry point inside the university and forming since the beginning, let's say, shaping also the preparation of students, of researchers for a possible future jobs in this company itself is an extremely good idea, in my opinion. It's more applied research.
Looking at the robotics landscape today, what would you say is the biggest trend shaping the field right now?
Humanoids are right now the big topic, but say behind the humanoids, that all there is all the race on the computational power, computational efficiency, artificial intelligence, foundation models, and this we are going, you know, in the domain of the software. But then there's also the domain of the hardware that still is, in my opinion, the main limitation that we have in humanoid robotics. Algorithmically speaking, they are extremely powerful. And you can see, for example, how this humanoids moves. But in terms of hardware, there's still, let's say, a problem of reliability and dexterity also, capacity of interacting with the environment.
There is a growing debate in robotics about where the real challenges lie. Some argue that the main competition is now about AI, software and learning systems. You see it differently. Why do you believe hardware remains such a critical challenge?
First of all, the batteries. I talked to several industries and they say, okay, we have this robotic dock for inspection of our production sites. Instead of having a human that goes around and see if there are leakages, if there's something that doesn't work, they have an automated quadruped, so a robotic dock that goes around in this large production site that can be a storage house, a chemical production site, and see if everything is in order. And it usually does it during the night. And they told me, you know how many times we just came back in the morning and we found the robotic dog that is just on the stairs, down with battery completely depleted? I tell you another point. There are two main philosophies of humanoids. The one that is, let's say, married by Chinese, that is agility and physical capacity, speed. The Americans are on another line, that is the one of dexterity and fine manipulation. Why? Because they want that the manual labor that is done in industry most likely is replaced by humanoid robotics. The problem of not having such a diffusion is that the dexterity or mimicking the human manipulability, the capacity of the hand of manipulate object, is still extremely limited. The more these hands will be complex, the less will be reliable. So for me, a humanoid robotics is, let's say, like a child with a mature brain, but still a body that needs to be developed, needs to be stronger, needs to be more reliable, more robust.
You make an important distinction here. Our previous guest, Markus Liebhardt from Eugene Robot, works with autonomous mobile robots that are already operating in real-world logistics environments. These robots are designed around clear tasks. Beyond areas like intralogistics, which applications do you think are most likely to see widespread adoption in the coming years?
Now I say something that many of the people will not like, security and defense. I am very much convinced that in the next 5 or 10 years, we will see in some countries hybrid police units in which they have humanoid systems or robotic quadruped systems. And I tell you why. Because the hybrid security team, like police team, with K9, for example, with a dog, are by far much more successful than police that is not hybrid. Imagine that you have a humanoid robotics that is deployed inside an apartment in which, for example, there are people that you want to, they are drug dealers. Do you think that this drug dealer will not surrender earlier? Of course they will. It's something that you cannot stop. What do you want to stop a humanoid robotics that eventually will be bulletproof, that will be tasered, armed?
Security and defense may be one of the more controversial fields, but they highlight a broader trend. Robotics is moving into new real-world applications. Germany has a very strong reputation in robotics, especially in industrial applications. From your perspective, where do Germany's biggest strengths lie today?
Germany is a manufacturing country. Every manufacturing country has the capacity to, let's say, with a certain effort, develop its own technological sovereignty. And this is a technological sovereignty that Germany already has. We need to make it stronger. We need to differentiate some production and going in the direction that, in my opinion, are right now the most important ones. If we want to run the humanoid race, technological race, we need to, let's say, support also those industry. I'm saying scientifically, we have to train on the side of the university the person that will go and work there, the workforce. The BMFTR is funding robotics and automation with new calls in order to deploy funds in such a way to strengthen specific directions, for example, certifications. That is something extremely important.
For international listeners, the BMFTR is the German Ministry of Research, Technology and Space. It supports research into robotics and automation. Germany has traditionally been associated with precision engineering and industrial automation. How is the country adapting to the new AI-driven era of robotics?
It's not that the AI revolution is only algorithmical. It's only, let's say, a ChatGPT. The revolution is when you have algorithmical capacity and physical capacity. Let's say that Germany, in my opinion, has an extreme physical capacity. We have probably to work more on the algorithmical and software capacity. But in terms of hardware, precision, mechanics, capacity of producing sensing, actuation, we are there. And most likely, we produce also among the best components in the world. The problem is scaling up. The idea is that, in my opinion, Europe should have more an integrated approach, boosting certain districts in specific countries. I like, the corporate behavior that the university in which I'm working has. There's a certain commitment, there's a certain loyalty, and I believe that it should go in that direction for majority of the university. We need to be proud. Actually, Germany needs to be proud of what has, technologically speaking, not only in my university, but in other university across Germany. Internationally speaking, has a very strong weight in the community of robotics.
Thank you, Lorenzo, for those insights. To sum it up, robotics is not only about machines. It's also about research, industry, talent, and the ecosystems that bring all these elements together. And Germany has the ingredients needed to remain at the forefront of this transformation. Now, before we wrap up, I should probably check with my robot co-host whether it has any final observations.
What makes Germany so good at robotics?
Good question. Let's take a look. What's the secret behind Germany's conspicuously dominant position in European robots? A study Boston Consulting Group carried out for the Federation of German Industries highlights two reasons: the country's excellent AI research institutes and its unique industrial foundation. That results, in BCG's words, in the chance to take a leading role in the applications of AI and robotics. Robotics can help alleviate social challenges like shortages of qualified labour and an ageing population. Demand for innovations is there, and companies in Germany have an ecosystem that allows them to meet it. And that's how Germany works. If you're also working on intelligent robots or any other future innovation, you should reach out to Germany Trade and Invest. We can help you discover whether Germany could be a great place for your business, all at no cost because we're a government agency. Let's talk at gtai.com. We're also keen on your opinion, suggestions, and questions. Please leave a comment in your favorite podcast app or drop us a line. You'll find all the details in our show notes. So, thanks for listening. Auf Wiederhören. Stay curious. And remember, Germany means business.